The Grow My Cleaning Company podcast helps owners of cleaning companies just like you to grow your company and yourself so you can make more money and finally get the time and money freedom that probably got you into this business. Discover how to automate and create systems that allow you to grow like crazy without losing control. If you dig the show and want to show some love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. It really helps. Enjoy the show.
Hey everybody, welcome back. We, for those of you that follow, we had such a good, I don't want to say turnout, but people were so interested in last week's topic, we're breaking it into two. So this week we're on week two of what are the top three things you're spending time on in your cleaning company. Apparently that's a, I don't say a big pain point, but you guys are interested in talking about that. So I want to make sure we get to as many people as we can. So let's jump right into questions. If you want to join in, email support@growmycleaningcompany.com with your question or join us live in our Facebook group. Totally free. Lindsay, hit us with the first question.
All right. First response question comes from Raina in the Facebook group. She's always sending us and stuff. Love you, Raina. All right. Her top three things are number one. I'll just hit them one by one, Mike, I think.
And yeah, when you give me three, I overwhelm and shut down. Hit me with one and just we could just pretend there's three different Reinas or three different questions and I'll hit them one by one.
I like it. All right. Number one, cleaning, because cleaners call off or quit on a limb. And I'm lucky if one out of five people come to the group interviews.
So, yeah, I mean, cleaning is probably the most obvious answer. And I mean, gosh, we talked about that ad nauseum. So I think the biggest thing I can give all of you, and again, if you're like, well, that's not a very specific answer. I know we've done 1,000 podcasts with hundreds on how to get out of cleaning. And actually, I think we just released our How to Get Out of Cleaning Forever on our socials. So if you email support@growmycleaningcompany.com, Lindsay will get you access to that How to Get Out of Cleaning Forever. So there you go. There's a free, and I think we charged for that a couple of years ago, and it was a whole challenge. So check that out. We'll give it to you for free. That said, the big thing is really just starts with the belief. Like you can hear it baked into the question. I'm lucky if one out of five people, like it's already finding reasons why it won't work as opposed to asking questions how it would work. So if we're like, no one comes, no one wants to work, everyone sucks, they all quit, we could really talk ourselves out of any potential for making this work ever. We could also go, are there other people out of cleaning? Yeah. Are there hundreds? Yeah. Is this a thing that happens? Yeah. Are they brighter than me? Yeah. Do they live in some magic fairy tale land where people want to work? No. Like there's people in my area right now that have employees. So a lot of it is just that belief of, you know, a lot of us are, we really want to be right more than we want to win. So we'd almost rather tell our friends or whoever will listen stories of how impossible it is, as opposed to looking for examples of the result that we want. Right. So if I wanted to believe, cause I'm a chubby guy, I don't have any opportunities as thin, good looking people. And maybe that's the case, right? I'm guessing you can find plenty of data going, if you're thin and good looking, you get better opportunities than average looking in, you know, with the 20 extra pounds. And that may be the case. Or I could go, well, be that as it may, well, I could stop eating some goddamn food. That would help. But other than that, I'm not going to get any better. I might get skinnier. I ain't going to get any better looking. I'm certainly not getting any younger. So you control the controllables. Or I could just go, well, great. Are there any chubby guys? There's downright fat guys that have been wildly. Look at Santa Claus. No, just kidding. There are downright fat guys that are uglier and older than I am that have been wildly successful, right? So, Raina, I would encourage you to start with like, okay, I can do this. Other people have done it hundreds of times. It's not like it's just one guy one time got out of cleaning. There's thousands of owners of cleaning companies across the world, probably tens of thousands, that don't clean at all. So really, that's just a belief system. And again, it's like, I'm lucky if one to five people come to the group interviews. Well, we've got hundreds of people out of cleaning, coaching one in 10 people coming out of group interviews. Like, great. Well, then just have 60 people to come to the interview to hire one. Great. And if you need 10, well, then let's just get 600 applicants. Like if you have a problem that requires money and you have money, you ain't got a problem. So I would encourage you to shift your focus and ask questions that are going to get you the result that you want. But yeah, if you're cleaning, there's no reason Cleaning Nation. That's the other thing I hear. You know, I want to get out of cleaning, you know, maybe 6 months or a year or two from now. It's like, okay, well then let's start trying to solve that problem a year from now, right? But if you want out now, there's no reason with the right systems and processes, you can't be done cleaning in just a couple months. Okay, let's hit number two.
Yeah, we kind of touched on it, but group interviews, no one shows up half the time. I don't have anyone else to do them either right now.
Yeah, well, that's crazy talk. So that's, I don't have time to do group interviews because I'm cleaning. Well, at some point, you're going to have to give up something. I mean, a group hour takes a group hour. A group interview takes an hour. So no offense, if you're getting paid $100 an hour, which I'm guessing you're getting paid less, then you just don't make that $100. Like, or you work a little longer. Like, at some point, something's going to have to give. So make time to do a group interview. And again, no one shows up half the time. Well, how many applicants do you have, right? If you're getting 1 in 5 and you have 6 applicants, yeah, no one might show up. But if you have 50 applicants, the likelihood 10 people are going to show up is pretty high. Worst case, you get 3 or 4, all of it worthwhile. And you only need one person to get you out of cleaning, or 2 people if you're cleaning as much as 2 people. So again, embedded in the questions are kind of the hopelessness of I can't get it. That's the thing that we need to fix is, no, this can be done, right? So if no one shows up half the time, we'll have twice as many interviews or have 10 times as many applicants. Super solvable. And not having anyone else to do them is, or I don't have time to do them right now. It's like, well, that's just poor, you know, you don't, the chicken and the egg. That's like me saying, you know, I don't have time. Yeah, it's just a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? I'm too busy cleaning, so I don't have time to hire anyone. That's like me going, I'm too busy working, so I don't have time to date. But no one wants to date me because I don't make enough money. Like, at some point, you just have to draw a line and make a decision of I'm gonna figure my way. All right, do we have a third question from our? And by the way, Raina, love you so much. Not trying to beat on you. I just, the questions are making me sad. Like, I hear a beat down attitude. And again, you know, Henry Ford's famous saying a lot of things, but my favorite is, if you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. So there's a lot of, I think I can't, and let me justify this. But again, having done this for a decade and helped hundreds and hundreds of people out of cleaning, there's just no one that's ever going to convince me they can't, only that they won't. So that said, what's question number 3?
All the admin tasks, because I can't afford anyone else right now or have time to train someone on them if I did.
Yeah. So again, I can't really get into that because quote unquote, all the admin tasks is not a very specific, like, I don't know what that means. Is that answering the phones? Is that doing billing? Each one of those would have a different answer. So again, we've got systems and processes for all that stuff. So that's a tough one. We can't, you know, that'd be like, you know, what are you doing in your cleaning business? A bunch of administrative work. Well, if we could be a little more specific as to what administrative work is, I could give a little more specific of an answer. All right. Who's next?
Next, we have Lori, who's one of our grads, actually. So shout out to Lori. She said, number one, following up on leads.
That's a great question. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to assume Lori's residential, because typically a good commercial company might get, you know, 2 to 10 on a great month leads per month. So it's not really a big deal, and it's not as time sensitive. It's completely acceptable. If you get to call at 2 or 3 in the afternoon on a commercial lead, to call them back tomorrow morning at 9 or 10, like, not a big deal. It's just not, this is a slower process and there's just not going to be a lot of flow. So I'm assuming when it's like, I'm just feeling overwhelmed with leads, it's probably residential. So let's talk residential. Super important that somebody follows up with that lead quickly. It does not have to be used the owner. So with our kind of automation team, the last person for residential we recommend you hire is a salesperson to handle those leads. That said, for all of these positions, you either are that person or you hire that person. So it is kind of a, I don't want to say chicken and egg, but sometimes just to do stuff that's hard for a little bit to get out of it, right? Like, I get the, like what Raina was saying earlier, if I'm super busy, I don't have any time to hire. It's like, well, you're going to continue not being busy cleaning until you do hire. So yes, we're not going to work 50, 60 hours a week. I mean, almost never, but you're not going to have to work hard or do hard things forever, but you might have to do them for a little bit of time. So yes, there might have to be a time as you're growing your business where you are taking leads and they're just interrupting everything that you do. But only one of 3 things can be true. One, you're not getting that many leads, so it's not that big of a hassle. Fine. 2, you're getting a lot of leads and they're all garbage, in which case we can modify our marketing, what we're saying, where we're saying it, put in some sort of short application process that kind of weeds them out. So there's a couple ways that you can systematically make sure that you're only getting good quality. So thing one is, you're not getting that many and then it's not that big of a deal, but that's not what Lori's asking. She's like, I'm getting a ton. Well, either they're good quality or they're bad quality. If they're bad quality, you can systematize that out. So the better quality, not they're going to be perfect, even with an application, no matter what you do, there's going to be some wasted time. But let's just say they're bad. So you create a system and generally they're good. Okay. So now the problem specifically is I'm getting a lot of good quality leads. Well, that's going to work itself right out because if they're good quality leads and you're following up with them, you're going to grow pretty quickly and you will be able to afford a salesperson. So again, chicken and the egg, you're going to have to do that for a little bit, but that little bit might be a month or two of assuming you know how to market and sell, which is kind of a prerequisite. I'm guessing you can, Lori. That means if you're getting a lot of good quality leads and you're following up with them, yes, it's a pain in the butt, but you're going to be growing your company pretty quickly. Also, if you look at all the other stuff that you could be doing, cleaning, $20 an hour, admin, $20 an hour, sales, if you're residential and your average client's $400 a month and stays 2 years, that client's worth 10 grand, right? So if you sell every other client you go to and every client takes an hour, that means you're making 10 grand in revenue every 2 hours. Like, if you're going to be quote unquote bothered with something or overwhelmed with something, it's a great thing to be overwhelmed with. So again, you can't offload it. We want you to offload it, but it's, if you have to pick one thing to keep to the end, that's the way I have the salesperson as the last person. It's a great thing to keep. So hopefully that gives you a little encouragement, Lori, that either they're not that many in which you can deal with it. There's a lot of them that are poor quality in which you can make sure they're better quality, or there's a lot of them there's good quality and you're not going to be small enough long enough to not be able to hire someone for long, because good quality leads with you following up quickly, it's going to be a pain in the butt for a couple of months, but you'll have enough revenue to hire a salesperson. Hey, amazing people. You may have noticed we don't sell a dadgum thing on this podcast. We don't allow ads. The only ask I can ever have of you guys is if you dig the show, for you to spread the word and share so we can change as many lives as possible. Literally, it'll take you 5 seconds to give us a great review, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate you as a listener and value the gift of your kind words. Now, back to the show.
Her second and third are all related to leads, so you can, they kind of dovetail in and you kind of answered it a little bit. Number two was quoting leads.
Yeah, same thing. Again, and it shouldn't take, the first phone call should take 5-10 minutes, you know, going on site, depending on how far you drive. That call itself should be 20 to 40 minutes. So hour 15 all in. And again, let's just call it an hour to make it easy numbers. If you only sell every other one, that means 2 hours for a sale. But if a sale's worth 10 grand, you're still making $5,000 an hour. So yes, lead, that was including talking to them on the phone, going out there. That is still high value work. And people get confused because they're like, I'm too busy cleaning. I made $100 cleaning this hour. It's like, yeah, that's still way, way, way less than you'd make selling.
Yeah, yeah. And number three was keeping organized with leads. And also she just wanted to add that her feeling towards all this is that she hates it, like dealing with all this lead stuff, it sounds like.
So the organization of leads, that is administrative. Where the leads coming from, you know, that's kind of a bigger conversation in terms of what's the marketing, what's the messaging, what call to action are you giving them, you know, kind of in the, are they qualified? But that can be, you know, that would be a more in-depth kind of one-on-one conversation involved, like what CRM are you using, all that good stuff. And around hating it, Lori, 90% of the people, especially business owners, when they don't like it, it's because they're getting the wrong people. Right. So we're all that way. If I'm talking to a bunch of junky leads that aren't a fit, of course I'm going to hate it. So as opposed to beating yourself up and be like, this sucks and I hate it, I don't want to do it anymore, give yourself permission to go, I love talking to perfect prospects, like prospects that are a good fit, and I'm not going to sell them all, and all of them aren't going to be perfect. But if 80% of the time I'm dealing with a lead, they're a perfect prospect, and 80% of those I'm signing up for my service, for the vast majority, and I'm guessing including you, Lori, you won't hate it. You'll actually like it quite a bit. So it's almost always, we talked about earlier, the quality of leads coming to you or just expectations, right? Like if we go, I talked to 10 leads and say each call talk took an average of 4 minutes. So in a week, 10 leads, because again, some might take 20 minutes, but the bad ones might take 30 seconds, right? So when we'll just call it 5 minutes. And you talk to 10 of them, that's 50 minutes. It's only an hour. So I know it's annoying and we can go, you kind of have to take the drama out of it and just put in the data. So say I spend an hour to talk to 10 leads and 7 of them suck and only 3 were good. But of those 3, I get a job and that takes me another hour. So again, I'm back into the 2 hours, you know, for $10,000. We just get these expectations, I think, a lot of times, because most of you guys start growing your business with repeat referrals, which is a great lead source, but it's not scalable, right? So you're used to that where they're all amazing and then you kind of talk to cold traffic, like these all suck. And it's like, well, again, if you're going with your feelings that are going to lie to you all the time, yeah, I guess it could suck. But if you just do the math, you'll feel a little better, Lori. Like, well, wait a second. I took 10 calls and 7 sucked and I only got 1 new customer. Again, that's one way to look at it, to make yourself feel miserable. Another way to look at it is I got 10 calls. It only took me an hour to field them all. One of them turned into a client that took another hour, added $5,000 a year to my revenue, and I got a perfect prospect. So it really, a lot of it depends on how you choose to frame it in your mind. That said, that's for the vast majority of people. There are 10% of the world that really, really hate sales. They hate talking to other people. They're just introverts. And again, a lot of you are like, I'm the one that hates sales. You don't hate sales. You hate pushy salespeople that have made you feel bad about yourself and try to convince you to do something you don't want to do. And if you think that's your job as a salesperson, of course you're going to hate it. That is not your job as a salesperson. Your job as a salesperson is to help them get clarity. And if you know that you can help them solve their problem, then you try and help them solve their problem. So with that definition of sales, which is not only, I think, accurate, but more effective than high pressure, most 90%+ of the people are like, oh, well, if that, I thought sales was being pushy and trying to get money and trying to get the most money, whether they're fit or not, and bully people. Like, of course, no, I don't want to do that. I'm a pretty good salesperson. I don't want to do that. But if you're like, if you want to find people that have a pain that you can solve and then help them solve it, make their life better, I'm like, oh, I can do that all day. So properly define sales, unless you're just a complete introvert, and then you don't really hate sales, you hate people, right? I don't want to converse with other humans. That can be a little tougher to be a business owner. Everything that's going to get done in business is going to require people. And you're just going to have to either do it while you hate it or hire a salesperson early. But the problem is that salesperson is going to be a person. You're going to have to talk to him or her. So yes, if you're just that introvert and you want to be a business owner, at some point you're going to have some partner or some ability to talk to other humans. All right. That was kind of a bit of a long one. Anything I'm missing, Lindsay, or anything you want to add or ask on behalf of Cleaning Nation?
No, I just wanted to add, what's that quote? I forget who said it, but they're always like, facts, not feelings. Like,
yeah, who said? I love that. I wish
that was. Who is that? Or data, not feelings. Those are some.
I like drama, not data, or follow the data, not the drama. And I like facts, not feelings. Don't try and mix your metaphors. You got to stick with the D's or the F's. You can't have a D with an F. It just doesn't work. I will give for those very small percentage of you that are introverts, I'll give you my one introverted joke. So, how do you tell if an accountant is an introvert or an extrovert? And the answer is, if the accountant's an introvert, he's going to stare at his shoes when he talks to you. But if he's an extroverted accountant, he'll stare at your shoes while he talks to you. So there you go, introverts or accountants. We got them all.
Wow.
Feel free to put that in your pipe and smoke it. All right. I could do 17 more terrible dad jokes, or we could probably do a question. I'll let you use your better judgment, Lindsay.
As much as I appreciate dad jokes, we're going to move on for Cleaning Nation's sake.
That's a good choice. Cleaning Nation thanks you. I thank you because I was bluffing about the 17 dad jokes.
I was going to be very impressed.
Chosen well.
All right. Next, we have James from the Facebook group. His top three, we'll go. Number one, again, it was following leads.
So. Okay, I think hopefully we've covered that. I don't want to beat a dead lead horse, so let's just keep moving on. Yeah.
Number two, doing quality checks. We haven't hit on this yet.
That's a great one. So here's the beautiful things. A lot of times there's things that just don't need to be done that we do because it's a habit or we think we have to do. Following up on leads quickly and quality checks are not those. Those are important things. So a lot of, because you guys' questions are so good, a lot of the questions we're asking are things that you should be doing, but I want to, because I don't think, just in case nobody asks something that they could just stop doing, I want to make sure a lot of times you could just be like, I just won't do that, or I'll do it way less frequently, like email. If you tell people I respond to email once a week or twice a week, then you can just, and again, you're not stopping doing it at all, but you're stopping doing it 5 or 6 days a week, which is a big deal. So you can, we call it boxing time, where you put a box and you only do that thing for a little bit. You can box time. You can put it off, take it off your plate. There's lots and lots of ways to just stop doing something or do it at a much lesser degree. Doing quality checks is not something you're going to stop. So of the things that should be done, now we just move into what doesn't, you just don't have to be the one to do it, right? So quality checks is super important. Most of what makes us feel that we have to do it is some belief that we have to control everything, we have to be in the middle of it. It's more of an emotional need that we're trying to fill for ourselves than an actual need that the business has. So quality checks, important. Us personally doing the quality checks, typically more of an ego thing or a fear thing or a control thing, not a this is what the business really needs thing. So that is something we coach, not having supervisors, not having people, not having like, I'm the lead and Lindsay's the whatever, and I have to follow. everybody's a lead, right? If I'm going to pay you to do a job, I'm going to expect you and hold you accountable to doing the job. So if I have to pay Lindsay to watch me, like she's the lead and I'm whatever, and I have to pay her to come check my work, why do we need me? Why don't we just have Lindsay do the job? Like, and I'm not saying no one ever checks ever, but I'm just saying on a day-to-day basis, everyone should be expecting I check my own work and I check my partner's work and I'm a whole responsible. I'm 100% responsible for everything that my team does. So it wouldn't be like, well, Lindsay's job is a bathroom. No, no, no. I own it. So off the bat, you have to have cleaners that have an ownership mentality. I'm on the job. I put my name on it. Even if I'm with a partner, if before I leave this job, the whole goddamn house is going to look good or the whole goddamn buildings look good. Even if I wasn't doing the vacuuming, I'm checking the vacuuming. So that is a culture thing, not a systems thing, right? If you have people that don't give a crap about their name, their commitment, doing a good job, you can have all the systems you want, and it ain't gonna work. But when you hire and have a culture of people like high integrity, high say-do ratio, high keeping their word, high pride in work, ownership of work, not that you shouldn't have systems, but the systems become a bonus. And if you don't have that culture, the systems aren't gonna do anything. So all that to say, James, the cleaner should be checking on each other's work. So before they leave, they should all be checking. And then we, and your scheduler can kind of put this on the schedule. There's a whole process that I'm not going to get into on this particular right now, but high level, every cleaning team should check at least one other job at least once a week. You can do more, you can get fancier, there's other more specific ways to do it, but that would be the minimum. And the, all of them should be using some sort of a checklist online or paper for every job. And then the team that checks the job should use that same exact checklist. There's not a different fancy checklist. It's the same checklist. And then you as the owner, or if you've got to the level where you've got your customer happiness manager, you or the customer happiness manager would check the original team's checklist versus the people that recorded his checklist. And if they're a good match, probably okay. If they're not a match, they're way off, one said something completely different, then either the customer happiness manager or you can either go out on site or just call the customer the next day and go, hey, we had some checks, we just want to make sure what we saw. So you just have to systematize it. So yes, checking stuff is a good idea, should be done. No, you as the owner should not be doing that. Okay, I think James had one more and we'll probably have to cut it.
Yeah, he had one more, but we kind of covered it. It's doing walkthroughs for new prospects.
Okay, so that would be same thing with leads.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So the big thing, because it seems like there's a theme coming through with like leads and that wasting a lot of time, I think the big concept I want to give you guys is understanding the difference between leveraged and unleveraged time. So when I clean a toilet or do some vacuuming, that toilet and vacuum is just going to need to be done tomorrow or the next day or the next week. It is completely unleveraged. It is one-to-one. I get paid once to do this job once. And then if I want to get paid again in the future, I got to go do the job again. Creating new customers, that's why we love, that's why we don't coach move in, move out, one-time cleans, construction cleanup, post-construction, any of that garbage, because it's unleveraged. I got to sell it and then I get that job. And then if I want another job, I got to go sell it again. The beautiful thing about recurring work and sales for recurring work and doing walkthroughs for recurring work is you do it once and you get paid indefinitely. So I think we don't see the difference between, even if I got paid $400 an hour for cleaning, which I know we think we do. I did a job and it took me 4 hours. I got 500. Yeah, okay, but you're not talking about getting the equipment and billing them and going down there and selling it and like bidding and all the risk. And you have to go get the material. Like there's a bunch associated with it. It's the same thing with, you know, use the example of being on stage. If you get paid $10,000 for a keynote, you're like, I made $10,000 an hour. It's like, yeah, but it took you 40 hours to sell the gig and travel out there and get in the thing and talk with the people and blah, 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 blah. So you gotta count properly. And the way you count properly is how many hours did I work this week and how much money did I physically take out? You start doing, and then you divide one by the other, you get a real hourly rate. And I promise you, it ain't the $100 an hour you think. So leveraged work is good to be doing, right? So same with checking on stuff, not leveraged. You check it now, you're gonna have to check them again and again and again and again. So I just wanna encourage you guys that are doing the sales and the marketing, make sure you're doing it effectively, right? If you have to go on 10 sales calls to get one job, you're doing a potentially leveraged thing, but you're doing it poorly. If you do it well, you sell one job and they stay for a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. Holy crap. What, you know, that's a great use of your time. So we just want to make a big distinction between leveraged things, I do it once and get paid forever, and unleveraged things, I do it once and I get paid once. Do we have more? Are we good?
I think we're good, Mike. Yeah.
All right, I felt a little preachy. That's one thing I hate. I won't get to talk to Lindsay, who's always super supportive. So Lori, James, Raina, love you guys. So appreciate the questions. If you hear any frustrations in my voice, it's just because I'm frustrated. I can't talk with you and get a little more detailed. And just sadness here and you guys feeling overwhelmed, and I know you can get some help. So if you guys do need help, support at growmindcleaningcompany.com. If you have a question you want to add, support at growmindcleaningcompany.com. Anything for next week? Any questions that you're looking for specifically, Lindsay, or anything to add before we call it?
No, I'll brainstorm something good before then.
All right, beautiful. And then I think, yeah, just email support at growmindcleaningcompany if you need anything. Thanks, Clean Nation. Hopefully that helped get you working on better stuff, higher stuff, stuff that you love, and not wasting so much time. Until next week, we'll see you there. Well, here we are, the end of the podcast, and you made it. Great job. I've got a little bonus for you before for sticking through with me, but like I mentioned before, if you got value out of this podcast and you want to show a little love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever the heck you're listening to this thing. Share with a friend, share the love. And as a special thank you for those of you that stuck with me to the end, how about I give you my personal phone number so we can text? It's a great way for me to get to know you, your business, your goals personally. So shoot me a text now, 602-932-6431. That's 602-932-6431. I am the only one who responds to these texts, and I will personally respond to everyone I possibly can as long as this number is manned. Don't know how long we're going to keep this at the end of the podcast, so grab it now, 602-932-6431. Give me a text, say hey, can't wait to meet you.